Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 6, Text 105, Part 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vichastitanam Vaha Eva Kala. Ratvir Bhavad Ekalavo Yugamcha. Vavinrajo Vartma. Chapashyatam Mahur. Disha Chakachin. Muralim Chashrindatam. For those who live in Vraja, daytime is like the black night at the end of the universe. In the blink of an eye, a millennium. In such a state, they look at the sun and the trails of the dust on the road, and again, listening for the sound of the flute. Commentary. Rohini's calling Padmavati a virtuous lady, Sati, is sarcastic, because everyone knows that her virtue was spoiled by the demon Drumila. Anyway, I'll read the purport and comment a little bit, and then I'll also have my explain where I am. But so you remember this story right here is Uddhava was a bit mortified because Krishna was going to write another letter to the gopis rather than going back. And everyone was concerned for the residents of Vrindavan. What would happen to them if Krishna again, because as we know, Nanda Maharaj promised them Krishna would return, and Uddhava went back, and then Balaram went back and promised them Krishna would return, and then Uddhava went back and promised them Krishna would return. And now the discussion in Dwarka with Krishna is Uddhava and Rohini, Balaram's mother, are telling him the state of the Brijvasis, that if Krishna does not come back, they can't stay alive. Only his lotus feet in Vrindavan will save them. Now, Padmavati, who they just said virtuous, is sarcastic because Kamsa was the illegitimate child, wasn't the child of her husband, Ugrasena the king, but was the child of a demon who seduced her, calling her virtuous. Because what happens is Padmavati has the samskar, the nature, she's a little envious and evil, and she doesn't like the residents of Vrindavan. So anytime the residents of Vrindavan are glorified, she begins to counteract that. And in counteracting that, she says, "No, you know, they just want Krishna back to go out to the fields, and work under the hot sun, and graze the cows." But what happens is, when the residents of Vrindavan are criticized, the natural response of the of the other people are no, either they ignore her, they become so angry. How great the resonance of Vrindavan is. And this is one of the symptoms of love, that you cannot tolerate blasphemy or criticism of those whom you appreciate. And the symptom of your love at that time is that you can even become angry. Well, generally, anger is one of the qualities of the material world that degrades one. Forgetting verses, but that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Dayatobhishyam Pumsa Sengo Samjayate Kama, that when you meditate on the objects of senses and you do not get what you want, you become frustrated, and frustration leads to anger, and anger leads to bewilderment. Anger is a degradation of the mind into the form of ignorance. Once you become angry, you can do anything. Against even your own good sense. So if you think of the mode of ignorance, you think of anger. But in this case, if you don't get angry, it'll degrade your consciousness. Because the anger is a manifestation of love. Someone is criticizing a great soul, criticizing the Vrijvasi. That's why it can be said that Indra is worse than Osama bin Laden. Only in this sense, that Indra, this is 9/11, and I'm Washington, D.C. Of course I got to talk about this. It's a tragedy, obviously, when the World Trade Towers came down, and that's bad. Horrible. But it's one thing to try to destroy the center of industrial world. Another thing is try to destroy Vrindavan. Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan. Anyway, Padmavati, let me get track here. Now, anyway, Padmavati is criticizing, and the love of the residents of Vrindavan are Rohini here can't tolerate it. So she's, first of the thing she's doing is calling Padmavati Sati. That's sarcastic. Oh, chaste lady. She therefore should not have been so bold as to present herself in authority how to serve Krishna. This is typical. People, when someone is humble, someone is clean, they're more likely to be humble, and they're more likely to see their faults. It's just like you have a clean glass of water, then any speck of thirst becomes so apparent. And when someone's heart is very full of bad qualities, they don't see what they do wrong. If you put some dirt into a dirty glass of water, you won't even know the difference. Or someone keeps their house very, very spotless and clean. Even a speck of dust you can see. If it's very dirty, you won't know if something's thrown there. So, therefore, Padmavati, she shouldn't have been so bold, but that's the nature of such people. Why does she imagine that the Vrijvasis want to make Krishna constantly slave for them in a different forest? The Vrijvasis, rather, want to see Krishna all the time. It's okay?
That mic just dropped.
All right. Okay. I need that. Can people hear me?
We can hear you, Maharaj.
Oh, people can hear me? Okay, good. I'm just checking it. Thanks, Ricky. So she's counteracting what he's saying. Oh, you know, the residents of Vrindavan, you want to send Krishna back to Vrindavan? He'll just slave to them, taking out the cows in the hot sun. Henry, do you have to go? Okay. I need you around at least till after the introduction. Okay. Yeah, Henry has to do something too. It's a little unusual today. Really what this is, if you really what this book is, and I think, you know, we had that polemic, that thing, why, if Krishna is gentle-hearted, is he not going back to see Vrindavan? But if you wanted to look at the story, what's the main theme of the story is, who has the most exalted love? And it's all going to be pointing, the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam read is to point to the love of the residents of Vrindavan as the highest love. And this is a precursor to that, because now Krishna has gone to Dwarka, where he was told that the greatest devotee is Uddhava. And when Uddhava was praised, oh, you are the greatest devotee, by Narada Muni. Excuse me, Narada Muni is traveling, trying to find the greatest devotee. And when he goes to Dworkin, he sees Uddhava, and he prays, and Uddhava says, you know, I thought I was the greatest devotee until Krishna sent me with that message to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis. And when I saw their level of love, my pride was crushed to dust. Because what did Uddhava see? He saw the highest stage of love, which is the love is so intense that in separation, that desire for the object of your love, which is absent from your presence, drives you absolutely mad. And that's called, one of the symptoms is jalpa prati jalpa. Just wild talk. Radharani is in Uddhava Kari, and Uddhava comes trying to deliver this message to Radharani, and it's a beautiful forest and a beautiful field between Barsana, the home of Radharani, and Nandagram, the home of Krishna. Now Krishna is not at that home. You have to say Radharani is still in Vrindavan, and she sees on that hill Nandabhavan. As we can today see, that palace of Krishna is still there. And she sees that palace. And she sees it from Barsana on a clear day. Because still even today, you can see from the hill of Barsana, which is Radharani's palace, you can look across, you know, a couple of miles, and Krishna is not there. And that is driving her crazy. And she wanders into this forest. And in this forest, a black bumblebee comes by. And she's such in a maddened state of separation and love. And I always tell you, it's my favorite, that picture where she looks at that bumblebee and says, "You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master." So Uddhava saw this, and now he understands that if Krishna doesn't go back, the residents of Vrindavan die. And he's mortified, because when he pours his heart out to Krishna and tells him that three times, we had to tell the residents of Vrindavan that you would not come back, or that you would come back, you would return. And he's mortified when he sees Krishna. And it's described, Krishna is described as Madula Ashanga, gentle-hearted. And after Krishna hears this, his hand is shaking. His hand is shaking, and he's crying, and he's going to write another note. So Uddhava is absolutely mortified. So the discussion, and really the highlight now, is in this feeling of compassion for the Vrijvasis, which really being heightened in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is the culmination, the beginning of the culmination of the theme. That who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy? The greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy of those who have the most love. So part of Krishna's mercy is being absent to increase that love. That is also part of Krishna's mercy. So there's always simultaneously existing in Vrindavan both union and separation. Because even when they're with Krishna, they fear he may leave. And when they are separated from Krishna, they see Krishna in the core of their hearts. In the Lok Pramana, there's 10 methods of evidence. The most important in this tradition is Shabda Brahman. You hear from authority what is the truth. And of course, there's projection, there's direct perception, there's anuman, there's logic or inference. And one pramana is lok pramana, the village talk. So if you go to one place in Vrindavan called Prema Sarovara, right between Barsana, the home of Radharani, and Nandagram, the home of Krishna, a wonderful pastime happened there when Radharani met Krishna one evening, secret meeting, sitting on Krishna's lap, and they're disturbed by a bumblebee. Krishna asked his dear friend, Madhu Mangal, close friend that can assist in these conjugal pastimes, to please get rid of that bee which is disturbing us. Madhu Mangal takes off his dupatta, his top cloth. Every Brahmin has a little gumsha or chada. Shoos away the bee and then says Madhu, which is the Sanskrit for bee, is gone, but it's also the name of Krishna, Madhava, Madhu. And when Radharani is such an intense state of love, that just hearing that Krishna is gone puts her in a state of separation. And she begins to cry. And then Krishna, seeing Radharani's intense love, he begins to cry. But he also sees that in separation, the object of one's affection, which is standing before one, enters deep into the heart. So Lok Pramana, village talk, says, this was the last pastime, and then Krishna left to enter into the hearts of the Vrijbasis. So anyway, this is highlighting, and this is the message that we get in this tradition, that the highest and deepest love is the resonance of Vrindavan, and the resonance of Vrindavan, the deepest feelings of affection and prema bhakti, are the Vrajadamsals, the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore, when Padmapati is saying, oh, they're being slaves, and then the response here from Rohini, no! If they don't see him, they cannot stay alive for a moment. No! Their love is so great, if trees or other obstacles block Krishna's sight when Krishna and the cowherd boys are going through Vrindavan, the forest, you can imagine seeing them go through a forest and momentarily, you know, the tree blocks their vision. They love him so much that they shed tears and cry out in anxious voices. Every time Krishna goes behind a tree, they cry out, Sri Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is the kirtan of Vrindavan. The cows are going through the forest with Krishna, and momentarily when there's a space between the trees, you hear Krishna, 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 Krishna. And now in this verse, for those who live, in the daytime is like the black night of the universe, because in daytime Krishna goes to the forest and they don't see it. So this is what's being highlighted here. The Vrajavasis rather want to see Krishna all the time. When he leaves them in the morning to tend the cows in the forest, time passes for them slowly and painfully. Especially for Sri Radhika and the other young gopis. In the gopis' words, Atatiyadbhavan abnikananam. Atatiyadbhavan anikananam. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. They condemn the creator. They condemn Lord Brahma, the engineer. What a defect. Why have you made eyelids? So we have, probably all of us have foolishly became infatuated at some time of our lives and have an experience of some type of madness. But if you understand, this is trying to say that this is the perfection of that infatuation for the divine absolute reality, where his loving potency is flowing to the hearts to the greatest degree. So this is what happens. This is what happens, that one curses the eyelids. Even the boys headed by Sridham, who accompany Krishna in watching the cows, become anxious when Krishna disappears momentarily behind a tree or any other obstruction. In the forest, when Krishna just disappears behind the tree for a second, Krishna, 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 that's the kirtan. The kirtan, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The Brajavasis waiting back in Nandamarja's village glance frequently up at the sun to see whether it's time for Krishna to come home. So all day, the residents of Vrindavan, they're just looking at their watches. Man, it's such an anticipation. Such an anticipation when Krishna will come back from that forest. Every day, they look down the road on the horizon to see if the dust is being raised by the returning cows. Yourself may remember, in one sense, waiting for someone who you are eager to see, and how the time stretches. And then perhaps a car, you hear a car's noise in front of the house, and you look outside, is the person there, and then it's something else. And this is the energy of the soul of pure love is just waiting. And from time to time, they hear a few notes from Krishna's distant flute. The Vrajavasis are driven almost to insanity, realizing that for hours he will not return. So they hear Krishna's flute, and he'll not return. How, therefore, can Padmati reason that the Vrajavasis will want to exploit Krishna by keeping him constantly? So she's making the point, how do you think they want to exploit him? Look how much they love him. So now I finish the purport and I'll stop the class. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taktu Nupangena Tezmai. Okay, greetings from, I did it a little bit different today. Greetings from Washington, D.C. I'm sitting in the temple room with our Sangha listener, Henry, personally designed by my god sister, Jamuna, which means everything is perfectly situated. And very interesting. People say that they like when I just give them a view through my eyes of some of the activities and Srila Prabhupada's mission. This time I decided with Henry that, I come to his house and generally I'm busy from morning to evening, so I'll just come and we'll just relax. I'll meet a few people I know. I met Savior Priya and her son Tamal. Tamal did such nice kirtan in with dancing and kartals in the temple room here. And then I took a walk with them. So I wanted to see different people, but it didn't work out that way. It just, I don't know, people just ran. So we've been actually busy from early in the morning to late at night, just meeting. And it's really been wonderful. And we did a nice program on Thursday night when I came on Thursday. Really good program. Quite a few people there at one studio. And then in the morning, we went to the mindfulness center of someone I met in Washington. It has a beautiful place of wellness and they asked me to the heaviness of it, asked me to teach their meditation class. So me and Henry got early in the morning yesterday, and we taught the meditation class. We met quite a few nice people, and I just explained what is the principle of meditation, how the mind works, and how meditation works by focusing on one thing. You subdue all the other vrittis or thoughts, and it molds the mind towards clarity and goodness. And I explained how, in meditation, when the object is divine, because you can meditate on anything, when the object is divine, you have the extra added impetus of an attraction to the object of your meditation, which draws you into that focus. And you have the extra added the extra added bonus that the object of your meditation can respond and help you in your meditation. And then from that, I describe the benefit of kirtan. How if you couch that meditation on the object of divine sound, of a divine object, the holy names of God, and you couch it in rhythm and melody, it allures and absorbs the mind even more. And then we did kirtan, and they shut their eyes, and we did a very slow melody, and we did kirtan. And it was very moving, too, because one lady came there who was dying of cancer, and she was an Oriental lady, and she was really in pain. And before the class, I sat with her a bit, and I asked her curiously, I said, you know, where are you from? She said, I'm a descendant of Genghis Khan from Mongolia. And then after the class, her daughter came. And her daughter came, and she's woof. She said, can you give a mantra for my mother? You know, and then interesting, she said, but I, you know, she's actually said, my mother's from Mongolia. My father was a Kashmiri Brahmin. Interesting combination. And she was a doctor of philosophy or something. So she came wanting a mantra. So Henry will follow that up and bring the lady some CDs and things like that. Very cultured, very nice lady. And anyway, it's great. Some of you know Alex. He's an actor in Washington. We were working on a plan that we could preach together, but I'm not going to reveal it yet. But it's going to be called The Monk and the Thespian. We have an idea how to present Krishna Lila. And because it's always so hard to put on dramas and you have these long narratives. But he talked about a way where he can do it, just one person. It's very interesting. I don't want to give it away yet. And we talked there. And then we met one teacher here from... I would say it's the most prestigious prep school in Washington, which means that and the history of it is like Al Gore went there, different senators went there, Marriott Hotel, people like that. And so they came because Henry arranged that I'm going to teach that teacher's class the whole day. I don't know, it's a history class. So he came to see me, and I gave him a real good idea how we'll do it. But I felt pretty excited about that. I get to teach four classes up from tomorrow morning to this school. I mean, with the children of the elite of Washington. It's really nice. And they have a good idea, too. I told them what you should do, because I said, you know, first of all, it's a history class. And the teacher was someone that Henry brought to Vrindavan. And then it's so interesting because he came to Vrindavan, and I took care of him in Vrindavan. And this summer, he wanted to go on an exotic retreat. So he went to Greece, where there's an island or peninsula where they have 20 ancient monasteries. You need a special visa to get to there. And some of you may laugh, but there's such celibates. Now, I don't know why it is, they don't even allow female animals on the island. I just, then he said, then I said, what the hell does that mean? He said, no, in the monasteries. It's not like they check every mouse. But so he described to me, he described, these people are completely isolated. And he described their meal was basically vegetarian. He said, in the evening you eat twice a day and they give you a cucumber, a tomato, a loaf of bread, and some mashed chickpeas. And they rotate between the chickpeas and different kinds of beans. And that's what people, so it was like a real thing, and people dedicate their lives. So I was interested. I started asking him questions. But in passing, he just said, you can imagine comparing that kind of seclusion, to Vrindavan with all the cars going by, and the bridge bossies, and the MVT, and the pizza, and whatever else goes in. But it's so interesting, just in passing, he said, I didn't find the same spiritual feeling I did in Vrindavan. after he told me this whole story. So it was great. So we're going to go there tomorrow all day, and then yesterday we just met people, and it was really, really nice. We weren't expecting to be busy, but somehow or other, and Henry's great at it. He just makes my schedule and schedules it in, and sometimes I have a half hour between activities. So we were having real fun and of course, this is amazing too. When I was coming here, driving in a car, I'm driving down, you have to go, I was coming from Delaware, Back Bay Bridge, I had to go through downtown Washington to come to Henry's house. And a godbrother who was born in America, went to India when he was 18 and became an Indian citizen, married an Indian wife, had 5 children, stayed in India just to serve the mission. Right? But he was visiting, I guess. He drove right next to me during the car. So I'm walking at their race. This is his person from there. He came to visit. Okay, now we'll go back to the story. Let's try to resolve again that issue that was brought up by many people. The kind-hearted Krishna who's suffering so much. When he hears about the suffering of the residents of Vrindavan, why doesn't he return? And why did he leave Vrindavan in the first place? First, I would say that this particular section of the story that goes on is meant to actually resolve this issue, and it will be discussed extensively as the issue continues. But one thing that will come up is Krishna tells the Brijvasis that I love you, and the only reason I left is there were demons that were going to attack me. And I didn't want to be here and have them come here. All these demoniac... all these demoniac forces, I had to leave to fight them. I didn't want to come. So that was one reason that was given. Also, you have to understand, I also thought that if you really want to understand this, why is Krishna doing this? This contradiction, the soft-hearted Krishna, he's crying, why doesn't he just go back? I think you have to look at it really in two ways. And when the question's asked, it has to be really clear which Krishna you are asking about. I mean, that's one point. The fact of the matter is Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So the question doesn't even really arise. Because it's not even Krishna that leaves Vrindavan. It's Vasudeva Krishna. Krishna means Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna never steps outside of Vrindavan. So Krishna's always there. And there are two levels of Vrindavan existence, prakat, manifest, and aprakat. unmanifest. So in the upper class Vrindavan, even today, Krishna is always there in his pastimes. The pastimes are Nitya Lila. They're eternal. It means that they're somehow existing behind time. It means that the pastimes are always manifest and every moment. So I think there's two ways in which you have to really deal with this question. One is called Naralila. Why did Krishna leave as a human being? He's Naralila. He's the pastime of course, it's God, but God without divinity. Because divinity distances oneself from devotees. And divinity covers the divine from those who want to worship him and have that mood of appreciation and service and reverence. It means our understanding of the divine is that the divine has an intimate side. And intimacy doesn't manifest sitting on the throne. Intimacy doesn't manifest in the epitome of majesty. Intimacy only manifests in equality. So God's ultimate lila actually is this Naralila, a human-like lila. He's our size. He's equal. He's subordinate. Our love has no check towards him. So that's Naralila, and the other one is existentially, from the position of the ultimate reality, which is this conscious world of exchanging love and rasa, where the pleasure of that absolute reality is a feeling of love between the absolute reality and his devotees, in which his own bliss potency is placed within their hearts, so God can experience love, which requires it to be somewhat in the vision or conception of being outside of God, coming towards God, something that he wants, something that he craves. So existential. So from the standpoint of Naralila, he leaves to protect his devotees. From the standpoint of Naralila, he's also concerned for the devotees that he has, in for them. And there's also that sense in Naralila that the separation that those devotees are feeling is so deep that I fear going. Because after spending time with them and spending my time with those residents of Vrindavan to bring them out of their comatose state of intense separation, as soon as they slowly begin to awaken from that state of separation and they see me, the thought may come that I may leave. And that thought of losing me again may bring them into a deeper state of separation. And the fact of the matter is that this is only prakat, manifest lila, and I'm there with them, and I'm there. I'm not separated. Separation is only consciousness. If in separation there's devotion and love, I'm there at the same time. Of course, I guess one difficulty is trying to envision a world where Krishna can be there and not there at the same time. That's That's the very definition of God, according to the Yeshua Upanishads. Today it's your teeth, at night your teeth, Tadbirei, Tadvantike, Tanantarasi, Sarvasya, Tarusa, Vasibharata. I walk, I don't walk, I'm near, I'm far, I'm inside, I'm out. So there's inconceivable potency. There's not laws that restrict God. So, because everything we see and perceive is under laws, it's very difficult not to project or subject God to those same conditions. And when things happen that transcend those conditions, not to have doubts. How is that possible? How is that possible? And from the deepest existential platform, Rasa Vaisaha, he's swimming in that rasa, and therefore the separation is required, and the intense separation is required. And that's what we're hearing about. The most intense separation. He leaves. He's promised to come back. Someone comes back. Krishna doesn't come back. The person promises he will return. There's a message. Someone else comes. No. And then again. And now this, Leela, is just bringing out the highlight of the love of the resonance of the knowledge. And Krishna is also subject to his own Leela Shakti. Krishna becomes Mugdatta. He becomes forgetful. He's not in his Leela or pastime. He's Sarvajna, he's all-knowing, he's Mugdatta, he's forgetful at the same time. Both are there at the same time. He's Mugdatta, he's forgetful, just because he requires it for love. He requires it for love. I always tell a story, you know, I don't have that much connection. I'm a monk. I didn't go to my brother's weddings, and, you know, things like that. But so I'm my younger brother's 50th birthday, and my mother asked me, can I come? And I said I'd try, and I was doing a program at Go Kishori's and Kishori Radha's, and after the program, I just timed it so I'd come after the dinner. And it was a surprise party for my brother. So he, you know, he came to this, and they opened the door in surprise. Anyway, another story, another surprise was that I showed up. But surprise. So in love, God has to be Mugdatta. When Radharani is in man or anger, it's not that he has an omniscient view of the thing and understands this is just Leela, this is just pastime. He's actually experiencing that she's angry with him. So in that highest realm, the Leela Shakti rules. He turns over, he empowers his pastime. And it's just moving everything to create rasa to the highest degree, to experience by everyone, as they're experiencing now in so now Rohini, is describing in answer to Padmavati, no, they're not slaves. They're not enslaving the Brijvasis. They love him so much. That daytime is like a black night because Krishna goes to the forest tending his cows. And the blink of an eye is a millennium. The cursing creators, even the cowherd boys, as Krishna disappears behind a tree for a minute. Why? They love so much. And they wait. And they wait during the day. And they're waiting for that padaduli, that dust to come in the horizon. And they're waiting to hear Krishna's flute. They'll see the dust, and then eventually they'll hear the flute, and then they'll see his cascading black hair. And then the gopis will leave their husbands
running to the forest, and their husbands will try to stop them, and the gopis will say, "You move out of the way or I'll kill you." You move out. But because it's funny, they're chaste girls, they go in groups. So they have the culture of chaste girls, they go in groups. If their husbands try to stop them, move out of the way or I'll kill you. So it's describing this. Ayam hitatta tupaneshu kotikad vihartu kama pashushanga shangita vayasya vargai sahasabhitotitum vayati nityam swayam agrajanvita. Every day Krishna takes his older brother with him and goes out into the various forests, eager to enjoy with his herds of cows and wander in the company of his many friends. So now, Mohini is going to describe Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is Krishna. Vrindavan is part of Krishna. When that absolute reality wants to enjoy intimate love, wants to reveal his sweet personality fully, a very beautiful, informal, pastoral place manifests to facilitate that intimacy. The environment very much affects our relationships. Horrible to remember, but when you see some of those old pictures where Hitler was trying to establish the Third Reich, he created environments of maximum majesty for himself and his government, which combined with his mystic power of speech would drive the people in a frenzy. There's a romantic atmosphere also. And romantic atmosphere has to do with sweet sounds and beautiful flowers and natural setting. So it's concomitant. It's exactly at the same time as the Supreme Lord Swayam Bhagavan, his intimate feelings, his infinite revelation of his intimacy and sweetness. Commentary. Vrajadham is many attractive forests in which Krishna loves to play with his friends. His favorite among those forests is Vrindavan, the forest of Sri Vrindadevi, the original ruler of Raj. Every day, Krishna is eager to go out onto the forest where he enjoys ever-fresh pastime. The daily adventures of Krishna, Balaram, and their friends are an endless festival of wonderful sights and surprises. Perfect. Everything moves perfectly to inspire devotion. Any relationship can be disturbed by the environment. A boy and a girl that are just meeting and wanting to get to know each other intimately can be disturbed by the parents walking through the living. A desire of great, a relationship of great reverence and awe can be destroyed by intimacy. I remember I had good respect for my father, and they were having a party in his house, in our house. You know? And my father would try to keep reasonably formal with me. He was affectionate, but trying to keep, he had that culture to keep a little dignity. So, you know, it was a party, so, you know, I was just up in my room. I was just a young boy, you know, in my room. But I had to go to the refrigerator and get something to eat. And when I passed by and my father was with his friend, And, you know, they said something kind of inappropriate, you know, how friends talk, but not in front of the children. So that environment was not good for his fatherly role when I entered into that environment. So this environment is not different from this intimate love. In those forests are lakes with sparkling water, where Kamala and Upala lotuses spread their fragrance. The lotus tremble from the movements of swarms of bees stirred up by rows of excited water bees. The Tamahaschaya Vichitatamai Kalimbejasa Vajabhumi Sangani Tatapita Pindya Nagari Sambhava Parashanadyo Vilasantiyatvihi. And in those forests flows the river Jamuna, the dearmost companion of the land of Raja. The picturesque splendor of that river, the daughter of Kalimbi, astonishes the mind, and besides her, Rajabhumi glistens with other rivers, the offspring of hills like the Vindhya. Commentary, the glorious Jamuna flows in the midst of Rajabhumi, and during Krishna's manifest presence, some of her branches flow in parts untouched by her today. The previous day, the Jamuna would flow, but there were branches of the Jamuna that would flow through the forest. It was completely idyllic. Thus, many of the forests of Krishna's lands were graced by the Sri Jamuna's water, their grassy, tree-like banks. Other splendid rivers, like the Manasi Ganga, also pass through Rajabhumi. Hare Krishna, are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Mahans, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, this your subject about Krishna's manifest Leela versus unmanifest, you know, and is he there, is he not there? That's exactly, so you directly addressed my issues today, you know. A couple of classes ago, I wanted to ask you about exactly that, you know. You know, because I've been confused, you know, is he there, is he not there? But I think today you're saying both, you know. He's both. And also, you know, this Nara, can you just repeat Nara Leela versus, I think you were contrasting Nara Leela with
Krishna is God. His position is God. Right? So, he's Advayam Jnana. And this time, Jnana means consciousness. He's non-dual consciousness. It means that nothing is outside of God. Everything is part of God. Everything is part of God because everything is God's energy. It's inclusive of God. If the sun rays are within the sun. So, but at the same time, to reveal the personality of that divine absolute reality fully, it requires an equality, which means that the superiority of God covers his intimacy, covers his revelation of his personality, which is enough. So therefore, God has Naralila. And Naralila means he appears as an equal. But that equality enables the full manifestation of God, because within that person of Krishna, who is intimate, it's still that absolute reality. Fully. And therefore, when Mother Yasoda looks into Krishna's mouth, she sees everything. When Mother Yasoda tries to bind Krishna, the rope is always 2 inches too short because you cannot bind that absolute reality. So the very definition of God is he's everywhere, but without defect. And one of those defects would be being everywhere and being amorphous and without personality. So the fullest manifestation of God is Narayana because it includes the other aspect. You take these analogies, you know that they're on the internet, you can listen to them again. And I don't know if you know that they put it. Actually, it's very edifying to me because I know, although there may be, 25, 30 people listening at the exact time, the classes are downloaded. I think Ricky sends me the figures each week. 700-800 people. And a lot of people listen to them, so a lot of people are on there. I'm getting a lot of nice messages from Brutch Kishore, who listens to them. Because he's very interested in this subject, trying to understand Krishna. Right. Yeah. Gail, anything else?
No, but I hope you continue talking about fact that, Krishna's simultaneously, manifest and unmanifest.
Okay. All right. And those of you on next Sunday, those of you who are in proximity to New York or are able to get free, I will give class at Yoga Maya again in Chelsea. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance.
Nandadulal, it looks like I may have to come back before I go to America so I can come to your house for lunch.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Please let us
not leave. So I thought I would just be free to do all these things, and then yesterday, literally from morning to evening. But I do want to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
How far are
you
from Henry's house?
I don't know Henry's house because I have no idea where.
Henry's house is right in the middle of Washington. National Cathedral.
Okay, so it could be 20 miles or maybe less.
20 miles. And is it in the direction of New York or away from New York?
Actually, I send you my address. So you can Google it, and you can find it out.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hello. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Govardhan Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Govardhan, thank you. I got a message from Bharati, and I will try to visit before I leave. Sure. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Chaitanya Priya, my phone was off all day yesterday when I got your message. It's right here. It probably wouldn't be a good day to speak to you, but maybe I'll call and we can set a point at a time during the week or a little bit later, but I'd like to speak to you.
That will be fine, Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Okay, Chris. We'll see you soon, I guess. No, 2 weeks, right? Okay. See you in 2 weeks.
Hi, Bob.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Bol Maharaj, Mother Anjani.
Hare Krishna, Mother Anjani. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you. I have memories of Henry's house with Kimona years ago, so we have one of them.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Shastra Das.
Hey, Shastra. Hi, Bo.
Hi.
I just came from Shastra's house also on the way. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Dr. Carl.
Carl. Wow. I guess you're back from Santa Barbara now.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Let me know when you go to Vrindavan. Someone told you may go soon.
Yes. End of December into the first few weeks of January.
Okay. Generally, I'm in Mayapur in January, but we'll see. Hopefully, you can link up. Thank you.
All right.
Anybody else like to say hello? It's so nice to hear from everyone. Okay, thank you all. Vanchakalpa Tumbi Shaka Disha Vijay.